You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast for the 2019 League of Ireland season. It's Series 3 here at Between the Stripes and I'm delighted to say that myself, Kieran Burke, is joined once again this season by John Breyer.
Delighted to be here once again, Kieran. I've extended my contract another season.
Yeah, you were lucky to get it this time. You were pushing a hard deal, but had to get you back, I suppose. Our biggest and best ever season here at Between the Stripes.
Yeah, can't wait. And with so much coming up, we've launched BTS TV, haven't we, Kieran?
Yeah, so that launched just in around Christmas time there. There was a pilot episode from a charity game we were invited to cover between Dundalk Legends and Coot Hill. So that was kind of just a tester, really, to show people what the main idea of the channel was going to be. And I think everyone now has a fair idea. After today's episode, we posted a pre-season special covering a number of pre-season fixtures up and down the country, highlights, goals, and exclusive interviews with some of the biggest names in the league. And it's gone down really well so far. So if you haven't checked that out yet, search Between the Stripes TV on YouTube and you'll find us there. Already over 200 subscribers, John.
It's a fantastic start, and although we won't be covering too much First Division tonight, you can rest assured Between the Stripes, both the TV, the podcast, we'll cover both divisions fully.
Yeah, and of course we still have our website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, so make sure you check that out. As you said, it is the Premier Division preview show tonight, but we have to start the show by mentioning some breaking news coming out with the First Division. Limerick FC have just announced that they have secured a local consortium. They're backing financially for the 2019 season, a huge boost to the people of Limerick.
Yeah, and thank goodness for that, Kieran, because you know, there were some question marks about Limerick this
massive
season
question marks,
and whether or not they were going to be able to survive, which is not what we want to hear even before the season starts.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people, including myself, were questioning how on earth they got a Premier Division license, but obviously this was in the pipeline. It's come through now, and great news for Limerick. It'll give them a big boost before their opening game against Longford, so maybe not good news for us as Longford fans, John, but look, we'll speak about that on next week's show when we preview the First Division. The Premier Division show tonight, we have special guests, Daniel O'Reilly from Finn Harps, newly promoted Finn Harps, starting their season in Dalymount Park, so a great occasion for young Daniel there, who has just signed from Longford Town. Declan Fabio O'Brien joins us from Soccer Republic, and John, that should be very interesting because there's a lot of rumours about Soccer Republic at the moment.
And don't you worry, we'll be taking them to task about what coverage that the league's going to get this season.
We might speak about that just to kick the show off tonight. And finally, we'll be joined by Gary Parsons. You should be familiar with the name. He is the host of another excellent League of Ireland podcast, the Tales from the East End podcast, of course, which is a Shamrock Rovers production. A lot of things expected from Shamrock Rovers this season. So Gary is going to give us his predictions, his analysis.
I still think they're short of a striker, but you never know. They've just signed this Austrian fellow, Vojic. I think I'm pronouncing that wrong, obviously.
Good effort, John.
You know, we'll find out what he knows about him.
Yeah, so as I said, those interviews are coming up shortly. But John, let's just start, because it is a huge talking point at the moment among League of Ireland fans. This seems to be the quietest and probably worst attempted launch at League of Ireland season ever. If you weren't looking, you wouldn't know the league was starting on Friday.
Do you know, it's sad to me, Kieran, because it just comes down to, are the fans the only ones that are actually putting the effort in to promote the league? You know, we've seen very little from the TV companies. There's talk of Soccer Republic being, you know, either gone or shorter programmes, so we'll be finding out about.
Yeah, just to balance the argument here, I know a lot of people are saying, disgrace, there's been no TV adverts, etc., etc., and there's no TV deal, even though I don't like that phrase, TV deal, because it's not a deal, the clubs don't get paid from it. But the answer to that is, tomorrow is the launch of the league, and everything will be announced tomorrow.
Okay.
Now, for me, that's totally wrong. That's the wrong way to go about it. It's one day, it'll be forgotten about in a day. What you need to do as an association, if you're trying to develop and brand the league the way it should be as a product, you need to spread your launch out across months and weeks.
Build it up, get a bit of excitement.
Have one massive launch day. But you need to have launch days all the way across, TV adverts, radio adverts. But as you said, I think the people at the top clearly don't have the same passion or interest as the people involved in the league.
Kieran, it'll be all different next season when Quinny's running it.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Soccer Republic thing, I suppose, John. Would you prefer the talk is at the moment that the Friday night, the live game, which is going to be not announced yet, but it will be Dundalk against Sligo Rovers. That's going to be a longer show. And at the end of the match, you'll have all the goals from the other games. And then Soccer Republic apparently will be only a half an hour show on a Monday. But the problem with that is there's only going to be 15 league games shown.
What I want is a live match every week. Yes, fine. If you want to show the highlights afterwards, I've no problem with that. Premier Division highlights and First Division goals. That's my ideal scenario. But we're not going to get it, are we, Kieran?
I want a Ferrari. It's not going to happen, John, I'm afraid.
No.
I suppose there's no better time to kick off with our first interview of the season. It's a man heavily involved with the coverage of the league in his role with Soccer Republic. So we're joined on the line now by Declan Fabio O'Brien. Declan Fabio O'Brien joined us on the line now. Fabio, how are you keeping?
Very good, pal. As I said to you a second ago, I'm really excited. Can't wait for all the kickoff. It's been a long winter waiting on some football on a Friday night, as you would agree, I'd say.
Yeah, and with the off-season being so long here in Ireland, I think that's where we're seeing a lot of frustration from fans at the moment in terms of the lack of promotion in the league. And I know you had a couple of tweets up there recently. You feel you have some ideas about how the league itself can improve that. Maybe you might share that with us.
Yeah, well, you know, there's certainly, you know, it's one thing. The long off season is a real dread for players, I think. And, you know, things can really go quiet. And from a media point of view, that's where you need them. And, you know, you need promotion from people just to constantly keep it etched in people's minds about the league. As you know, you can see the President's Cup, I don't think I've seen, you know, maybe four or five people talking about it the day before, which is shocking, you know, really, when you think about it. It's the curtain raiser for the season, and it's, you know, the two biggest teams in the country going toe-to-toe again, and it's a great spectacle. But look, it lacks serious coverage, and, you know, I feel sorry for the players, because they're all top players, really, really good professionals that have done themselves serious credit in Europe over the last few years, and they just don't get the credit that they deserve, you know. And I just think that whole game day experience, a player profile, just needs a serious injection, and we're not going to get it from anybody, so we actually have to go out and do it ourselves now. And I think that's the next thing to do, is not to wait on anybody and to go do it ourselves, go promote the game with people who are passionate about it, and try and get companies on board, and try and really, really, you know, start something special, I think, in the league from a profile and game day experience point of view.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've seen it yourself, Fabio. People are saying, we're just going for a shameless plug here, but Between the Stripes TV launched quite recently, and I found it very strange that when you approach players, even at the top clubs, a lot of them still, they say to me, they've done very, very few interviews in front of a camera. I mean, in what other high-profile league would you hear the players saying that?
I know, as I said, it's fairly shocking, and you know, it really frustrates the life out of me. And it seems to be, you know, you'd like to see a little even improvement every year, like a small something. I think it's getting worse every year, which it baffles me, because the football is better. Teams are really competing well in Europe, and I think that will improve again. I was a little bit disappointed last year with the dog, but I feel that will improve again next year. You've got, you know, top quality players. When they go to England, they're doing themselves proud as well. You can see them, Shawnee Maguire and a couple of others over the last year or two went and done really well. So the league is very good from a footballing point of view, player point of view. Just nobody seems to be taking a chance on it, media-wise and profile-wise, that they don't see it as a viable option to you know, that people are interested in. And I disagree. I think it is. I think it could be a Soccer AM type show was over here with Mark.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I'm just going to ask you, obviously you're a pundit on Soccer Republic, Fabio. What's the plans for the programme this season?
Yeah. What RTE now are going to do, they're going to put a bit more meat into their live games rather than the shows they're going through. They want to do it all on the Friday night now, which it might work, might not work, but I think the viewing on the Monday hasn't been probably what they would have expected. So they're looking to maybe do it, catch everybody on a Friday night and maybe bulk up the programme somewhat.
Yeah, I think the one positive on that, Fabio, is it seems like the clubs will now have freedom to use the footage straight away, instantly. And I think as a league, that's certainly something we need to look at. Social media growth. I mean, leagues like the Bundesliga and even sports like the NBA, they've been fantastic at that. And they've seen huge growth through that. So I think that's really where the League of Ireland can take a hold of things.
I would agree on that, you know, and you'd like to think it was for them reasons, and that's what we hope, and I think it is. But you know, then you will have other people saying that maybe this is a lack, you know, is it a lack of interest as well, and you know, are people just, you know, not really putting money into the game where it's I think most needed is media coverage, profile, and you know, like, who knows, you know, we don't know the personalities of these players, most of them. We need to get to know these players. We need to give them the exposure they deserve, and you know, I just think we're really lacking in this. You know, I don't think we're doing enough, and that's me personally. That's everybody. I don't think we're doing enough for it.
And one man who's certainly been full of ideas recently in the press has been Niall Quinn. What have you made of his views and his proposals for Irish football?
Yeah, well, you know, I really like Niall. A lot of his stuff was maybe a bit ambitious at the minute, but I like that. He's a bit of a dreamer, but he's a passionate dreamer, and he's a hard working guy as well, and he's serious contacts in the game. And you know, I would say he's a kind of guy as well that would like to follow through on his word. And I have to say, he's somebody that I think would be a fantastic acquisition for any league in across Europe. I just think he has that passion, he has the business know-how, and you know, all that mix and the respect he would get from the people as well. And I just think it would be really, really exciting to get him in at some level, from a business point of view especially, and you know, the visions he has, like a lot of people would share. You know, some of it, as I said, might be a bit far-fetched for a minute, but you know, start small and a little bit every year. We're just not doing anything every year at the minute, which is just disappointing. You know, we're just waiting for something to happen, which it's not gonna.
Yeah, everything seems a bit static, doesn't it? I think any kind of influence of change and improvement would be very, very welcome. But let's go and talk about this season, Fabio.
Exactly.
A lot of teams, a lot of changes to lineups. Who are you excited about seeing? What's the outstanding signing that you've seen so far in close season?
I think Shamrock Rovers. I think everybody is just really thinking this is now or never with them. I think, you know, they've had a good two years planning now. You know, they've brought in a lot of high caliber players over the last 2 years.
Yeah,
with a guy from Wolfsburg, just signed on from a good trial he had. So they're hoping he hits the ground running with some goals. I think Bourne will be excellent. I think you know, they're the team to watch for me. I think I just see them, if they start well and get some sort of momentum, I genuinely think they could be real title challengers this year, which may surprise people, even though you should expect that from a Rovers team spending a lot of money. But I do see them challenging Dundalk and Cork this season.
Yeah, they're pretty much guilty of underperforming last couple of seasons, but we'll see how they progress. And I agree with you about Jack Byrne. Very exciting signing. Be interesting to see how he does. What about Dundalk, Fabio? Business as usual?
Yeah, you know, losing Kenny, you know, manager of that stature, and I just think any team will miss him. It doesn't matter if Vinny is, you know, the best replacement you could find. Stephen's words in the dressing room, his enthusiasm, everything is, you know, he leaves no stone unturned. He's very meticulous in everything he does, from speaking to some of the players and over the years, how he prepares for games and how he motivates players. That's something you can't teach. You can watch people do it, but when you have a genuine knack of getting the best out of players, which he does, and he's proven time and time again, it's going to be difficult to fill them shoes. But you know, Vinny has been in the right place for the last few years, and he will have learned a lot, and he will have, you know, maybe not liked a few things that Stephen done and tried to tweak it in his own way, which is perfectly understandable, and every manager should have his own ideas. So It's an interesting one. I just think if they lose a game or two, you know, that experience that Stephen has to steady the ship, that might be just missed. But listen, they have a strong dressing room. Stephen O'Donnell is still around the place. He's huge in terms of, you know, his voice and his experience, what he brings to the table as well. So that's, I'd imagine why that's why Vinny really wanted to keep him on board as well, because he's been there and done it for so many years. Brian Gartland the same, you know, he's a captain this year. Gary Rogers. So they've experience everywhere. Look, they're going to be the team to beat, but I do see them there to be taken as well if they have a little early blip and other teams smell blood a bit. And that's what we hope. We want a league where three or four teams are going for it. For me, I think that just makes it very exciting for everybody.
And Fabio, would you have any predictions of any teams that might give us a few surprises this season? Team, you know, maybe a team that might be up the top that we haven't seen before.
Yeah. You know, you'd like to see Waterford give it another crack. I think they had an unbelievable season. I just think it's second season syndrome can get teams like that, whereas we're almost expecting them to do really well now. So it's a different, they're going in not the surprise package anymore. So that'd be an interesting one for me. I think Bows have probably had the worst season in terms of losing players, you know. So, but for me, the surprise package for me would be Derry City. I really like Declan. I think he's a top guy for a start off the field. He's a very shrewd operator in how he works with players and signings and how he does his dealings in the terms of, you know, he knows good players, he knows what will work for his team, I think, and he knows what it takes to be a good Derry manager. Now, because it's a different, it's up there, you know, you need the passion, you need the fans every step of the way with you, and if you get that, you've had a chance from the start, and I think Decky will have that in abundance, and Derry people will love him and be right behind them, and I think they'd be the surprise package for me this year.
Yeah, and I see Declan Devine brought the Derry players for a tour of the city yesterday to show them just exactly who and what they're going to be representing this season when they wear that Derry shirt. So I thought that was a touch of class from Declan Devine. But Fabio, do you expect any teams to maybe struggle this season? A lot of people seem to be talking about Cork City having a much more difficult run of things than they have in the last couple of years.
I think Cork will be strong again. I think Kevin O'Connor bringing them back is a great acquisition. I think you've seen the quality he has when he came on the other day. And, you know, I think I'd still like to see Cummins, you know, hit that 20 goals. I still think he's very capable of that. I just think he didn't live up to the hype last year. He came back, he didn't have a similar impact that obviously Hoban had coming back. So I think that's huge for them. You need somebody scoring 20 plus goals if you have any aspirations of winning anything, really. And I think that's what kind of, that was the difference between Dock and Cork, and there was a lot of other differences, but one of the big ones was that every time the ball went in the box, you know, Hoopin was scoring goals, and Cummins went through a 9 or 10 game really bad drought for it, and his confidence lacked, and he lost his way a bit. So look, it's in the balance there. If he does kick on and get them 20 goals, but I think he could this year. So I think Cork will go well, and I think they'll go they'll push Dundalk and maybe Shamrock Rovers, as I said.
Fabio, been brilliant having you on. Before you go, can we get a couple of predictions, maybe who you see winning the title and who you think might be the bottom two this season?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Dundalk. You know, I think they will be pushed hard. I don't think they'll have it all their own way like they had it last season. But I just say they'll just get over the line with the quality they have. Bottom two, I would say Bowes and Sligo.
Wow, big call there, Fabio. So we'll leave it on that. That's quite an interesting one. Thanks very much for joining us, and keep up the good work on all the punditry work you're doing for the league. As you said, we really do need to see more coverage out there, so it's great to have people like yourself coming on the show here.
Absolutely, no problem at all, lads.
Thanks, Fabster.
Thanks, Fabio.
Take care.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie. Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Well, John, usually you'd start a Premier Division preview show by talking about the top end, but I'm really taken back by what Fabio has just said there. He predicts Bowes and Sligo as his bottom two. Can I get your views on that?
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised, to be honest, about Bowes. We know they're in a bit of transition, and the problem with Bowes is because of part-time, obviously, they are vulnerable to losing players to full-time outfits. But surprised to hear Fabio thinking they'll be in the bottom two. I think they've still got plenty of quality in that squad.
Yeah, I suppose if you have the transfers there. Maybe we just go through them, the players that have come in and gone out. If you can get the sheets ready there, John, it'd be great. Very unorganised as always. Well, yeah, so obviously out there, JJ Lunny was a very early one in pre-season
at
Watford. I think Dan Casey is going to be a huge loss down the Cork. Ian Morris was experienced, so you're losing experience there. He's gone to be Shell's manager. Shane Supple, you don't have to talk about.
Best keeper in the league, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was fantastic. Dan Byrne gone to Shelburne. Oscar Brennan gone to Shelburne. And obviously Daniel Kelly was the star player in that team last season. I suppose, again, you're going to be relying very, very heavily on the goals of Dinny Corcoran.
Yeah, well, I think he's quite a good outside bet to be top scorer for the league, somebody was saying as well.
Yeah, I've seen that today, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, he needs the service, doesn't he? And, you know, they're going to be a lot of reliance on Keith Ward again in midfield and the likes. Because they're really, I'm looking at the players they've brought in and really there's not too much that I know too much about there, Kieran. Yeah. Sam Byrne from Dundalk, but...
Yeah, there would be question marks over his fitness. He would want to get a good pre-season under his belt, really struggled for fitness when he went to Dundalk. Went up the north then, had an unsuccessful loan spell up there. He has scored a couple of goals in pre-season for Bowes, so you'd be hoping he can add something to that team. He's very technically very good from when I have seen him play, but as I said, fitness is an issue. One player I really like the look of, and I think we could see a big season from him in terms of a player they've re-signed, is Ryan Swan. He made his name at UCD, scored a famous European goal for them. He was out injured for the vast majority of last season. I think he could be a young talent to watch in this league this season.
Yeah, he went over to Exeter, didn't he? And I think that's where he got injured. And he didn't play a right lot over there. And he ended up coming back here. So, he needs to stay injury-free, Kieran. But they'll be delighted to re-sign the likes of Keith Buckley. He's so influential for that team as well.
Right, so we've gone through the ins and outs there at Bowes. So can you justify Fabio's comments? Do you agree with him? Do you think that squad, what we're looking at on paper there, is good enough or not good enough to stay up?
Well, if you look at where they finished last season, they did very well for what resources they had. I don't think... It's definitely not as strong this season.
No.
But can I see them in the bottom two? I don't think so. I think they've enough qualities for them to be out of that. And, you know, Daily Mail, it's a great place to go and watch football.
That's been where they've struggled in recent seasons, is the home games. But I just think Keith Long has done miracles on a shoestring budget over the last couple of seasons. I think he'll do the same this year.
What you've got to ask yourself, Kieran, is there two worst teams in the league? And I think there is.
Yeah, and I think I've seen them in pre-season, John. As I said on the Facebook Live intro there, was over at Athlone against Harps. Now, obviously, you never take pre-season results too seriously, but I was very, very unimpressed with Finn Harps. And then we seen Sligo against Longford Town, and I'm not impressed with the business they've done in the off-season, and I wasn't impressed with their performance against Longford. Now, the pitch was very, very heavy. It was a low-tempo game. But
it was an awful match, Kieran.
Yeah, I just don't see where the goals are going to come from for Sligo this season.
No, they look to be a bit short of options up front, that's for sure.
I mean, obviously, you've had Liam Buckley come in there. You'd be hoping he's going to add a little bit of spark. But he had a difficult couple of last seasons with Pats. And in terms of the players that have come in there, are they going to make a huge difference to where Sligo have been in the table over the last couple of seasons? I'm not so sure. And obviously, they've lost the main goal threat they had towards the end of last season, which was Mikey Drennan.
They've got a lot of unknowns, players that haven't played a lot in this league. You know, I'm thinking of the likes of Leverock, Romeo Parks, Brendan Ogbuck. I know very little about them. I know
they're big lads, that's what I can say.
They certainly are big lads, that's for sure. They look a big physical outfit, but you know, I just think to lose Mikey Drennan, you know what you're getting with Mikey Drennan. He's a poacher, he's going to get you goals. But to me, their big loss is Raf Cotaro. He was Mr. Sligo, wasn't he, really?
Yeah, even if he wasn't going to have that big of an impact on the pitch, in the dressing room, you'd love to have a player like that around. And I think that's probably why Ollie Horgan has brought him to Harps. The big signing that Sligo made that got everyone excited was Ronan Murray. But he's had an injury in pre-season now. He's definitely, from what I hear, going to be out of this Dundalk game. So it might take him a while to settle now. So I think a lot of hopes are going to be pinned on Murray this season in terms of Sligo staying up. But I definitely think they'll be in a relegation dogfight come the end of the season.
Agreed.
Right, so let's move along, John. We'll start previewing. It's that time of the year again. It's time for our St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. Make sure you check out their website, stmelsbrewing.com, and pick up a fine St. Mel's craft beer crafted here in Longford, and they're sponsoring the podcast this season. But of course, always drink responsibly.
Kieran, I have to say that mixed crate I got, it didn't last very long. Yeah, it was delicious.
I'm hoping it's going to be a different way around this year. For any new listeners that didn't listen last season, the St. Mel's Brewery prediction game, St. Mel's provide us with a creative beer. Myself and John make predictions every week, and whoever has the best predictions at the end of the season wins the creative beer.
You got hammered, Kieran, last season.
Hockeyed.
Absolutely played off the table, Kieran.
Yeah, so look, let's start. There's only one place to start. Oriel Park, Dundalk against Sligo Rovers. The last time these two teams met in the Premier Division, it came at Oriel, and it ended 5-0 to Dundalk on their way to lifting the title that night.
Wow, could we see the same again? To me, Dundalk seem to have a very settled team. I know we're talking about the manager gone, but I don't think too much will change. I think it'll be more of the same under Vinnie Perth.
Off to a winning start now in the President's Cup as well. That's got to be a nice little boost for Vinnie Perth there.
That's
a bit
right.
Silverware.
And the fact that they've kept their talismanic players as well, to me. They've not lost the players over to England like we've seen before. They've kept that squad together, probably improved it.
Yeah, can I tell you something scary as well? If you remember when Patrick Hooban came into the league last year, he had a very slow start to pre-season because of injury. He looks 10 times fitter in this pre-season than he did last year. Against Longford, he looks like he's bulked up again. Scary thought.
Yeah.
I know I spoke to John Gill after the game for Between the Stripes TV, and he said that he's in absolutely impeccable condition in pre-season.
I'll tell you what excites me as well, the signing of Daniel Kelly. I thought he was excellent last season.
He was excellent in the friendly against Longford, got his first goal in that game. A lot of people rate Jordan Flores very highly. He's coming from Wigan, but the one that I think is just going to be a superstar in this league is Sean Murray.
Yeah, he played a lot for Watford, didn't he?
Yeah, 76 games for Watford. He's played for a few other clubs in England as well, underage international for Ireland. Just a technically brilliant footballer. He played against Drogheda in a friendly when they won 5-1, and by all reports, the best player on the pitch, took all the set pieces, got a couple of assists. I think he's going to be a star. It might take him a while to get up to speed, but a player that struggled last season for Dundalk, believe it or not, was Robbie Benson. His performances weren't great. His pre-season performances, talking to Dundalk fans, they haven't been much better. So I think his place is going to be under threat now. And with that competition for places now, with Flores, with Murray, with Kelly, you're going to have to see better performances from the likes of Benson. So there's great competition for places in that Dundalk squad, and that's why they're my tip for the champions this year.
Yeah, and I like the way that they've got rid of a few what you call squad players to me, players that weren't really making any kind of impact in the first team. Maybe a bit
of Ronan Murray, they've brought in quality.
Dylan Connolly. Yeah. But they've replaced them with better players, if you ask me.
Yeah, so that's the dark side of things. Sligo, we've just talked about. Well, can I get a prediction for you on this game?
Well, I expect this. I didn't see anything about Sligo that said to me that's a settled team from what I saw. They looked disjointed against Longford. Okay, they won 1-0, but to be honest, 0-0 would have been a fair scoreline because it wasn't a great game. Neither side looked good. I don't know. I think it's going to take a while for these Sligo signings to bed in.
Yeah, Sligo are going to interest me this season, John, and I'll tell you why. Liam Buckley associated with a certain brand of football, but when I looked at the players Sligo have, they look very, very physical. I think they could get quite a few goals through set pieces this season. So will we see a more direct route from Sligo if results aren't going their way? Will they get more success playing that way? Very interesting. This would certainly be a game to go direct, because if you take Dundalk on at their own game in Oriel Park, you very easily could see a repeat of that scoreline from last season. So for me, it's a Dundalk win.
Yeah, I think it'll be a comfortable victory for Dundalk.
Right, moving along to our next fixture, John. St. Pat's against Cork. That was a belter early on in last season. And judging by the players Pat's have brought in this offseason, this could be a cracker again.
Yeah, Pat's excite me, I have to say. And be interesting talking to Gary from the Tales of East Stand, because obviously they've lost Gary Shaw and Brandon Mele.
Yes.
And they've gone to Pats. I wonder if they'll bite them when they come to play them again. But I like the business St. Pat's have done. Love the signing of Chris Forrester.
It's great to see him back in the league.
Yeah, and if he plays Drennan and Shaw up front, that just could be a really
don't
big partnership.
Think he will.
Up front.
I think it's going to be a one up front job. Their most recent pre-season friendly against Drogheda drew 0-0, but they played a shape one striker, and that was Drennan. So whether certain games against maybe what they feel might be weaker opposition, whether they'll go two up front, that could be interesting. But I think for the start of the season, we will see Drennan up there, so there's going to be a lot of reliance on him. But with the players that he has behind him, there should be plenty of goal scoring opportunities. And if it's not going his way, they have Shaw to come off the bench.
Yeah, well, they've plenty of options. That's what they've got in that squad. So they've got the chance to play one or two up front. They know, you know Gary Shaw's going to work well for Mikey Drennan. You know he's a great foil for another striker. Mm. So, yeah, they have lost a bit of experience, I would say that, and the likes of Conan Byrne and Ryan Brennan, the likes of Ian Turner, obviously. There's a few players that have gone, but I still think that's a very strong outfit, and they could be surprise title challengers.
Yeah, I just think this kind of transfer window is what Liam Buckley was crying out for the last couple of seasons, where things had gone very, very stale at St. Pat's and they struggled in the league. Harry Kenny's come in, there's been a breath of fresh air around the club. He's brought in all these wonderfully technically good players. I think we're going to see Pats playing that style of football that they did under Liam Buckley, and they'd be my tip to be the dark horses. And I think a lot of people feel the same. I feel Pats are going to be the one to push Dundalk, because Rovers, I feel, lack a striker. Maybe this new foreign striker they brought in can be the man, but Pats have two proven League of Ireland strikers. Yep. That could be the big difference.
Well, I don't know about two proven ones, because Gary Shaw's never been prolific, Kieran.
But as you said, he's a great
foil for another striker. You've only got to go back to when he was up front with Davy O'Sullivan. Yeah. The amount of goals Davy O'Sullivan scored for Longford that were directly created by Gary Shaw.
I even felt at Rovers last season when we seen Shaw at his best is when there was players up close around him, the likes of a Daniel Carr.
Yeah, I think with Shaw, you have to play two up front if you play Shaw. Yeah. I think if you play one up front, it's not going to be a title winning side, that's for sure. Talking about the opposition, though, Cork, reduced budget, and most people are expecting reduced success this season as a result.
Yeah, and I think I'd have to agree with them. I wasn't at the game in Mayfield when they played Longford, but the performance from Cork was supposed to be very, very poor, and I think everyone now has seen Mark McNulty's error.
I was going to say, can we have a word about that? Because that was...
And it hasn't been his only error in pre-season, John, and he had a very, very poor season last season. Now, obviously, you have to take into account there was personal circumstances at the start of the season with the passing of Liam Miller. Did that affect him? It's not probably our place to say that, but he is getting on. Tyg Ryan's come in from Galway. Excellent goalkeeper, formerly of Huddersfield. Maybe he can put the pressure on McNulty now, and we'll see better performances from McNulty.
And the one thing I would say about McNulty is, if you're going to make an absolute blooper and a howler like you're going to do that, do it in pre-season, get it out of the way.
To do it twice in pre-season, I just wonder if he was a less experienced goalkeeper who's done less for the club, shall we say, would he be given the chance to go and start the season now?
Yeah, you'd wonder, wouldn't you? You'd wonder. And all eyes last season were on Shamrock Rovers' goalkeeping woes. Yeah. I wonder if it's going to be people are going to be looking at Cork this season in a similar way.
But apart from the goalkeeping situation, when you look at the rest of the squad, obviously Sadler has gone away to Doncaster, scored a fine goal at the weekend, actually. Yeah. McNamee has gone, didn't have the best time down in Turner's Cross, but a technically brilliant player. Damien Delaney came in, absolute disaster towards the end of last year, so I don't think Cork fans will be too disappointed to see the back of him. But
Johnny Dunleavy as well gone. He would have been.
He's struggled with injuries in recent years, but a good lad to have around the club, I suppose, maybe you're suggesting. But the one that seems to excite Cork fans has been Darragh O'Connor, very impressive in the President's Cup. Dan Casey should do well coming down from Bowes, but it's certainly got the look of a younger squad. You've John Tilney there coming as well from Brighton, so a younger squad at Cork.
It looks to me like a more economical squad this year, shall we say. Probably, I think they will miss Sadley. No matter, I know Caulfield had him on the bench a lot last season, but pure amount of goals he scored, the goal threat that he gave Cork was massive.
To win, and he could win the game in a moment.
He's a game changer. Yeah. And I can't blame Sadley for going and looking to better himself. I mean, I think he'll do very well at Doncaster.
Is that where Cork? That could be the difference this season. You're looking at Dundalk. They have the McElhennys. They have the Murrays. They have the Holbans. You look at Pats now. They have their Forrester. Shamrock Rovers have Byrne. Do Cork lack that X factor player from midfield?
I think so. And I'm quite happy to go on paper now and say they won't finish in the top three or four this season, Kieran.
No. There's a big difference between the top three and the top four, so you're going to have to nail that down for me. Do you think Cork City will be in the top four this season?
Right, okay. Who have we got that's going to be ahead of them? Dundalk, Pats, Rovers.
Yeah.
They're going to finish fourth or below.
Okay.
And three teams that are definitely better than this season.
Because you said the other night on air, Between the Tries TV, you said they wouldn't finish in the top four, so that's a big difference.
Right, okay, well, I'll go top four.
You'll go fourth.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd probably agree with you there. But anyway, we can talk about that as the season goes on. Let's get a prediction on this game. It comes from Richmond Park, St. Pat's against Cork City.
Home win for me.
I go home win too.
Okay, perfect.
Is it going to be the same crack again this season? Are we going to follow each other in every...
Look, we can just share the beer if we do that, Kieran. Nobody will notice.
This is actually an interesting fixture. Let's go to the Brandywell. Declan Devine starts off his second coming at Derry City, and they take on the newly promoted UCD.
What do you think about Derry this season? Because I'm not convinced that they're getting any stronger with the signings they've made.
They've done a lot of their business late. I feel it's going to take a while for all the players to gel. As we just said, there
Barry McNamee's a big name.
Yeah, of course he is. And Patrick McLean coming back. So there's two lads straight away that know what the club is about. Mm. There's a couple of players there. Kieran Cole, very experienced, but a lot of his football's come in the first division, so he's going to have to prove himself that he can step up. Ali Gilchrist, he didn't pull up any trees at Rovers, but maybe a move somewhere else could do him the world of good. Peter Cherry didn't have a good time last season at Cork, so again, he's coming in to replace Gerard Doherty there. It's a big ask.
I think they're going to struggle, Kieran. I know we talk about Derry, that the whole idea of they're going to have to make Brandywell a fortress for themselves. Mm. Any chance of doing anything this season?
When I look at the players they've lost compared to the players they've brought in, they've lost McInniff, they lost Ben Fisk, was a player I really liked. And Ali Roy was in great form for them there at times last season.
Nick, wasn't he? Yeah.
So when you look at the players they've brought in to the players they've lost, they probably are weaker on paper, John, but I think Declan Devine will certainly unite that squad, and as the season goes on, they'll get stronger, and as you said, if they can get that home form going, I think they should be fine.
Simple question. Who's going to score the goals for Derry? Because to me, I don't think they've got a real, a man that's going to score a lot of goals.
Yeah,
that
is a fair point. Obviously, you're going to be hoping McNamee will create and score, but...
And I always worry about Cherry in goals. I know, I don't have the greatest confidence in him. I think he's weak to the aerial balls into the box.
Well, could we see an opening day upset? So UCD coming up from the first division. Some people brand them one of the best first division teams ever after last season. Now, they've lost a couple of very key players. Darragh O'Connor, we've mentioned already. And Greg Sloggett has gone to Derry, so he could be facing his former club on the opening day. But there's a couple of young players coming through there, and Richie O'Farrell is a name people have been raving about in pre-season after signing from St. Pat's.
Yeah, will they do all right this season? I'm not too sure. I mean, they've lost Darragh O'Connor as well, who was highly rated, and it seems to be, he's gone to Cork. As you say, Greg Sloggett to Derry. But to be honest, there's not too much of a difference in their squad.
Yeah, I mean, they've kept Gary O'Neill, who's their main talisman in midfield. They've kept Conor Davis, who looked very impressive in the first division, has been away at Reading, of course, so he could step like a fish to water in the Premier
Division. They've still got the good strikers, haven't they? Yo-Yo and Davis. So, you'd like to think they will come up and they'll try and play the same brand of football that they're playing in the first division.
I mean, UCD, their players, and Colly O'Neill, they're not going to be put off by all the talk of them finishing bottom. They expect that. I think the style of football UCD play, the surface up in the Brandywell really could suit them. I think we could see an upset on the opening day here.
Okay, give us a prediction, Kieran.
I'm going to go for a away win.
Ah, yeah, right. Okay, well, I think that'll be a draw.
I was going to say a draw as well. That one could bite me now. Let's go to the RSC. Waterford kick off their campaign against Shamrock Rovers. Two sides that battled out for third and fourth place last season. It was, of course, Rovers who came out on top in that battle. But both clubs look set for Europe this year. And this is a game that could have big significance, even though it's the opening day, in terms of the top four again.
Kieran, I've been a little bit disappointed in Waterford in the close season because I thought with the investment they had, how they did last season, European football, I thought they'd really kick on and go for it this season.
Yeah, it seems the club, I think from speaking to Waterford fans, I've raised this point with them that you were really looking for them to kick on and maybe go and be a real challenger to Dundalk this season. But I think after that initial investment now, they're looking to run the club in a more prudent way. So they've still made a couple of good signings there, John. JJ Lunny came in, he should be a good player in midfield for them. Delaney's come in.
He's not a blockbuster signing though, is he?
Delaney's come in. What do you make of that one?
Well, he had a real tough time at Cork, so I can't get excited by that one neither. And I'd say he's on decent wages as well.
Well, we won't speculate on that because we really don't know when it comes to this league. But I mean, they've lost experience there. Obviously, Delaney does come in, but if he struggles again like he did, then his experience isn't going to be much good to him. Derek Daly's gone to Bray, and Paul Keegan's the big one that surprised me, the rock in that midfield for Waterford.
I just wonder if we might see a couple of loan signings coming as well, the likes of you know, when you think back to last season, they brought in
Courtney Doofus,
yeah, and the like. So there's a possibility of that happening, yeah.
And speaking of him, he's rocked up at Yuri Oval Town.
Yeah, well, of course, he's not getting a game under my incompetent first-team manager, Darren Way. But look, you'll have me going on all night if you start on him.
But just on Waterford, obviously, they've kept Bastian Heary. That's the big one. And Chibdukas has signed from Dundalk. And if he can get fit, he could be a really key player, because Stephen Kenny and a lot of people at Dundalk really spoke highly of him. And they gave him a chance to try and get fit. It just didn't work out, but the fact that they gave him that chance shows that they seen something in him.
Yeah, I think this Dundalk would be disappointed that he had to go, you know, but you know, it is all dependent on his fitness, you know. If he gets a good run of games, you never know, they could be very, very solid at the back, Waterford.
Right, we've spoke about Rovers you'll hear an interview in a few minutes time with Gary Parsons. We've just recorded there, so we will be speaking in depth on Shamrock Rovers. Can I get up your prediction, John? Waterford against Shamrock Rovers.
I think it's going to be an opening match, probably a bit of a cagey affair. I think Rovers might win it, though, just by the odd goal.
Fancy Rovers to win it. This is where it'll be interesting to see whether they've got that killer instinct up front in what could be a very cagey game.
Yeah, it's going to be close, but they might squeeze it by one goal, I think.
Right, well, both go Rovers there. So as I said, interview coming up shortly with Gary Parsons from the Tales from the East End podcast as we discuss Shamrock Rovers' chances in depth this season. Our final fixture to preview now in the Premier Division on the opening weekend, Bohemians hosting Finn Harps at Dalymount Park.
Okay, so what do we think about Bohemians' chances this season? Fabio's predicted them to be in a real gunfight down at the bottom. Mm. We're not so sure about that, but to me, I can't get too excited about the signings. There's not too much I know about.
Scott Allardyce looks to be an interesting signing. He's done very well in pre-season, and there was a couple of clubs fighting for his signature, so he could be that bit of creativity in the middle, because obviously they don't have Dylan Watts this year like they did at the start of the last campaign.
I just think they've lost too much bows in the close season. I think they just had a horrendous close season. You look at the players that have gone.
They've not just lost quality, they've lost experience.
They've lost first team regulars. That's the problem. When you pull out three or four, five or six first team regulars, it's very, very hard to replace, and it's a very much a team in transition. They could really struggle early on.
Yeah, as I said to you, I just really think there's going to be an awful lot of pressure on one man, and that man could be Dinny Corcoran. As I said, I think Swan could have a good season, but if he doesn't get going, all the pressure is on Corcoran's shoulders.
And Dinny, I think it's fair to say he had a very slow start last season. Yes. You know, he only got going late on, but you know, if Dinny starts slowly, then Bose could be in big trouble.
As for Harps, as I said, was not impressed in the slightest by the performance against Athlone in pre-season, but I suppose that's the time to get those performances out of the way. What have you made of their business, John?
Impressive, I have to say. I've been quite impressed with Harps, and I don't think they're going to finish in the bottom two. I'll tell you that.
I would have agreed with you up until Saturday after I'd seen that performance.
Yeah, it's a pre-season match against Athlone. You can't read too much into it. A bit of a gamble in the two lads from Longford. I mean, neither have really played much Premier Division football. Daniel O'Reilly, we know he's a solid defender, but to me, it'll work quite well with him at Harps, because he'll have real experienced centre-back next to him, which he probably needs.
It'll just be interesting to see whether Ollie Horgan goes with the traditional back four or whether he goes with a back five, because he's got Sam Todd there now, signed permanently from Derry, who was excellent for Harps last season. O'Reilly's come in, and he's got Keith Cowan. So that has the make of a really, really good back three there. But if he doesn't go with that, are you looking at playing Daniel O'Reilly at left wing back, where he has played in pre-season, and he struggled massively in his first spell with Longford Town at left wing back? Daniel himself would tell you he is a centre back, he's not a left back. So that's going to be the one I'll keep an eye on.
And there's a few questions. Where does he play? Where's he going to play Sam Verdon? Is he going to play up front? Is he going to play midfield? You know, he's quite a few questions with this squad, I think.
Yeah, Cretaro has played right back in pre-season, but against Athlone on Saturday, he was probably the most impressive player for Harps. He played in the midfield, and he just did everything lovely and tidy. Little simple passes, kept the ball well for Harps. So I think that's where we might see him this season.
Look, the clock's not on Raf's side at the moment, is it? Let's be realistic. But he's always got that quality. He'll give you everything he can, Will. You know, I think he's a perfect signing for Harps. To me, they've got a bit of X factor in Keelan McAleer, player we've always liked. Fair to say, he didn't really hit the heights that he has done in the past, in the last season. But I think under Ollie, he could be given a real chance to have a go at defenders. So, look, I think with the players he's brought in, you can't say for definite that's enough for them to stay up. We saw them really run out of steam, didn't we, a couple of seasons ago when they got relegated. But you know, I think it's a lot better than the team that they had last season.
I just think if someone like Crotaro was to get injured, if McAleer was to get injured, I'm looking to see where the creativity in that midfield will come from. As you said, will he play Verdon in a more advanced role? He played up front at times for Longford in a target man role last season, but I don't think that'll be the case at Hearts with Nathan Boyle there, who should have a good season. I just worry if one of those midfield key players is to get injured, where the creativity might come from. I fancy Hearts to struggle.
Yeah, look, they've still got some of the big players from last season as well. You know, the likes of the ones we talked about, Mark Timlin and Mikey Place. You know, players that did well last season. You talked about Keith Cowan earlier. I think they'll be all right, Finn Harps. I know you've got them down for bottom two, but I think they've enough to avoid them spots this season.
Right, that's been a good little discussion on Harps there. So give me your prediction, Bows against Harps from Dalymount Park.
I'm going to go for an away win to start the season for Harps.
I am going to go for a draw.
Okay,
so we're going to bring you a double header of interviews now. As I said, Gary Parsons, Tales from the East End podcast. He is going to talk about that opening fixture against Waterford and Rovers' chances of winning the title this season. And then you will hear from new Finn Harps signing, former Longford Town man, Daniel O'Reilly. Okay, folks, so a massive year ahead, it looks like, in the Talla Stadium, Shamrock Rovers. Great work going on there, we must say, first, in the stadium itself. It's probably one of the best grounds, if not the best ground in the country now, what's gone on there. But on the field, Stephen Bradley looks to have assembled a side that could very well challenge for silverware this season. And I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line now by Gary Parsons from the Tales from the East End podcast. Gary, welcome to the show.
Cheers, lads. Happy new season.
Yeah, you too. It's bigger than Christmas for all us League of Ireland fans, I think. But Gary, as I said,
can't wait to get it going.
Yeah, it looks like Stephen Bradley has built a side there that can certainly challenge. I think what a lot of people are wondering, though, is there enough goals in that side? Rovers still probably not signed a recognised striker.
That's the big question that we've been put to us over the last couple of weeks. And if you look at the squad, It's the best squad Bradley has had pre-season, and going into a new season, it's the best one he's ever had. So, I mean, we have an abundance of fantastic creative players, but you could say there is a lack of a striker, although we have, not officially, but I think it's pretty much done. We've signed a striker, an Austrian, Bosnian striker. I think that's going to go down in the next couple of days. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes about. But I think Danny Carr himself, He's a fantastic player. It depends on if he's going to be playing wide or up top. But if he plays up top and he's got the likes of Jack Bourne and Aaron McAniff, Finn, you've got Watts. I mean, that's a dream team right there. If they can feed him properly, I think he can bag 15 a season.
I'm not so sure he's that much goals in him. But what about this guy? This guy you were talking about, this Austrian Bosnian fella, Orhan Vojic. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. What do we know about him?
We don't know much about him now. We don't know much about him. His nickname is Oki. looks a little bit unfit, but that's fair enough. He hasn't been playing ball at all, but seems like the old-fashioned centre-forward, makes a lot of runs in behind defenders. It gives us a different option. But like I said, I'd say we get him fit and then see what happens. It's an unknown entity at the moment. I mean, it really is a ball from the blue. We don't know anything about him. It's quite interesting, though. Has the fans a little bit excited as well, you know, something from the continent, so we'll see what happens anyway.
Yeah, I think us League of Ireland fans were certainly guilty of that. Whenever there's any type of exotic signing, fans just kind of lose the run of themselves or haven't seen too much of the player. But I think I'm right in saying he played against Brentford B and it seemed to impress a few.
Say that again, Kieran.
I think he might have played against Brentford B and he seemed to impress quite a few fans.
Yeah, he was getting into the right positions and seems to be doing the right things, but he's eager. He's trying to get himself a deal, and that's what we want. We want eager young players coming in, willing to prove themselves and willing to fight for a place in the team. He looks like that's the type of guy he is. So, like we said, I mean, the creativity that's behind the front men is stunning, and it is the best, most creative team I've seen since 2011, since the Belgrade Heroes. It's the best team since Michael Neal's Chargers. So, I mean, I'm extremely excited for this Friday. And like I said, I have high hopes for this season.
Let's talk a little bit about Jack Byrne, because one person spoke to me and we were talking about Jack Byrne. He was saying he was probably the best young talent he'd seen in Ireland. Now, his career going from Manchester City, obviously it's very, very difficult to get anywhere near the first team with them, but he's been out on loan to a few different teams and now he's ended up here at Rovers. What do you expect from him and where do you expect him to play?
Well, there was an article today in the Mirror, and it spoke about how going to Rovers isn't a failure. It's like to kickstart his career, and I feel that's the case as well. If you look at Graham Bourke, Graham Bourke was in the exact same position. He was the next big thing, came back, reignited his career, and now it's gone a bit wayward at the moment from. But listen, he was fantastic for Rovers. And if you look at the way Jack Bourne plays, he's absolutely stunning. This guy can control games. He really is a prospect at this stage. He's still a young guy. He's had a lot of clubs, and hopefully he's going to get the head down, and he can send us towards a title hope even. But he does look fantastic, and he's got so much ability. It's just about nailing him down to the right position. Like I said, if you look at our central midfield options, we've got talent and abundance there. So it's all about finding the right position from. And I really think that he could control any game, be it Dundalk away or Cork away or Dundalk home. I really think that he's the main man this season.
Yeah, and you're facing obviously a side on Friday that were rivals last year in terms of a European spot. Some feel Waterford look slightly weaker on paper. What's your views on that, Gary?
I think, now obviously they've lost a couple of players. They've lost Paul Keegan, and I think they held on to Bastien Eri, but I think we can go there and take the points. We had a 1-0 win with Gary Shaw getting the goal last year. Not a couple of other losses, but track record against them is pretty good. I'd like to think that we could go up there, packed house. We're going to bring about 1,000 easily. So I reckon that we'll do. We'll definitely take the points. I'm confident. The season opener, you got to be confident. You got to think you're going to win. So I definitely think that we're going to go up there and take the points.
What about Aaron Bolger? That was a strange one. Gone to Cardiff on loan. I think that raised a few eyebrows. Can you tell us a bit more about that deal?
That's the strange one as well. Listen, I actually couldn't even begin to tell you anything about that, because that was from left field totally. I mean, when have you ever heard of a loan going from League of Ireland to the Premier League? I don't know anything about that. I think it could suit him, because you could call it an extended trial. I don't know. It could suit him, because I don't think he was going to get in. You've got Greg Bulger, who plays in this position. Once again, the abundance of talent in the midfield. I just don't think he would have got the game time that he needs to develop as a player. So I think it's going to work well for him. I think he's going to go into their youth sides. So listen, we wish him all the best. And the worst case scenario is we get back Aaron Bulger, who has played at a higher level. So hopefully it works out for him.
He'll have great time under Neil Warnock there, I would have thought.
Yeah, Neil Warnock, he's a bit of a character, isn't he? So he's a bit of a moany young lad, so I don't know how Neil Warnock will take to that. If you watched our teammate section recently on the Shamrock Rovers official website, he was an overwhelming winner for being a moany bollocks, to be honest, on the training ground. So I don't know how that will go with Neil Warnock.
Well, Gary, come on, before we let you go, let's have a prediction. Where are Rovers going to finish this season?
Where are we going to finish this season? Okay, I'm going to go the heart and the head, the usual. The heart says first, obviously. But I think the head is going to tell me second with a good run in the cup, and I think we'll get through a round in Europe. But the thing is, I mean, you've got Dundalk. You could say they're in transition. They still have Vinnie Peart there, who will probably keep the same structures in that Stephen Kenny had. But I think there's something there that just tells me that I think we'll be able to nip one off them, because it's a big loss from Stephen Kenny's a massive loss. And to be honest, Cork are my tip this year to not do well. I just don't think they've recruited well, and I think Caulfield's on his last legs. That's just a personal opinion. I just think that's the way it's going to go. I think Pat's at a dark horse. I think they're going to play some lovely football. If you saw Harry Kenny's boys at Bray, they were fantastic. So I think they're going to be the ones to watch out for. But I think with the heart, I'll say second, and a promotion chase, or a title chase, and go on, we'll win the cup.
Yeah, just on your comments there, on your predictions, myself and John did a preview on Between the Stripes TV just the other night there, and pretty much everything you've said, we echoed. Bar Dundalk, I think we feel they'll probably just be too strong again this season. But in terms of Rovers, they should definitely be up there. Pats definitely look like the dark horse, and Cork, a couple of Longford fans were down there in pre-season. We're not impressed with them at all. Now, obviously, you don't go at pre-season results, but in terms of the performance, in terms of the players they've lost, you'd have to worry for them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's been what I've noticed. And if you look at the likes of the ones they recruit, I think they got Darragh Rains from from the Limerick
from junior
league.
Football
I just don't
in Limerick,
think
yeah.
they've replaced the players that they've lost, and I think their budget has gone down a little bit. And to be honest, I never really liked their style of football, to be honest. Anyway, it was kind of long ball, put them under pressure type thing, and I think we've gone past that. As I think that's a generational thing, it's gone now, and I just don't think that they're going to do it. I really don't. And if you look at, like I said, Dundalk again, their starting 11 hasn't changed, so I'm hoping that the departure of Stephen Kenny will affect the way they play, but their starting 11 still hasn't changed much at all. They're still extremely strong. Even look at the President's Cup, look at their starting 11. It's very, very, very hard to find a weakness in it. So, like I said, it's all about us playing to our strengths and just hopefully keeping up with them. Hopefully they have a blip.
Gary, superb having you on. Thanks very much for your analysis on Shamrock Rovers there, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Yeah, same to you, lads. Have a good one.
Cheers, Gary.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Okay, so Finn Harps kick off their Premier Division campaign this Friday night. They travel to that historic ground as Dalymount Park, and I'm delighted to say we're joined on Between the Stripes LOI podcast Premier Division preview by a new Finn Harps signing. It's Daniel O'Reilly. Daniel, you're very welcome to the show.
How's it going, Karen?
So, Daniel, as I mentioned, you've arrived new at Finn Harps, obviously with Longford Town last season. Tough decision to leave?
Yeah, it was a tough decision considering I've been there for the guts of 3 years, and I enjoyed working under Neil and Dara last year and Gary Cronin the year before. So I had a really enjoyable time at Longford, and it was a tough decision to make. I had to weigh up the options before deciding at Christmas time, and obviously the attraction of Premier Division football was probably what lured me most to signing for Finn Harps.
Yeah, I was at the Finn Harps in that loan game at the weekend. You were in action yourself. Probably fair to say not Finn Harps' best performance of pre-season, but I suppose this is the time of the year to get those type of performances out of the way.
Yeah, wouldn't have been our best performance. Few things to work on this week in training, but up until now, I think we've been quite good in pre-season. We've a good group of lads. We've got our fitness work in, and we're gelling together well. So I wouldn't really read too much into Saturday's performance, although it wasn't the best, but we're looking forward to Friday now.
And obviously, you mentioned the team is gelling well there. You've arrived at Finn Harps with Sam Burden, who was at Longford as well last year. Has that made it a little bit easier to settle in?
Yeah, me and Sam go up together, so it does make it much easier. Obviously, knowing Sam going in together as opposed to going up on your own does make it much easier. But the lads have been great. We know a few from before, so it's been easy enough with the transition going to Finn Harps.
Yeah, you're actually on your way to training now while you're speaking to us, Daniel, and thanks very much. We appreciate you taking the time out. But the distance that you're travelling from Dublin yourself, how have you found that? Is that a big setback in terms of playing for Finn Harps?
When you think of it on paper, the distance is long, and obviously it's not going to get any shorter. But we chop and change with lifts between me, Sam, and one of the coaches, Willie, so it's not too bad. And then for home games, we stay up there on a Thursday night, so it's not the worst, to be honest.
I'd imagine the journeys will be a lot shorter if you can pick up plenty of 3 points this season.
Yeah, please God, and obviously vice versa if things don't go our way.
It's an interesting squad that Ollie Horgan has built there. It's kind of young players with potential, like yourself and Sam there, who were in the first division last year but were very, very impressive. And then on the other spectrum, you've got someone like Raf Cartaro, so a nice blend in the dressing room there.
Yeah, well, Ollie bringing in Raf, and obviously we've got Keith there, who's plenty of experience, and some other lads we've played in the Premier Division before, so I think the balance between youth and experience is vital, especially going into the new season. Raf's been great so far, so looking forward to learning under him and all the other lads there as well.
Yeah, and you've mentioned that the main factor behind moving to Finn Harps was wanting to play Premier Division football, and the opening game comes at Dalymount Park, such a historic venue. I'd imagine as a player, this is the sort of venue you want to play in week in, week out.
Yeah, of course. To be honest, I was looking at the fixtures the other day, and you're looking at different games, and they're all tough games and great places to go. Like, we've Dundalk at home the week after, and then we have to go to Richmond Park on the Monday night. So Daly Mount, Richmond, and obviously places like Oriel Park, they're all great venues to play at. So it's exciting times. It'll be a challenge, but it's one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and let's focus on this opening game against Bohemians. Obviously, they've lost a lot of players again this season, but Keith Long seems to just pull amazing performances out of his players season after season. Tough start, perhaps, it must be said.
Yeah, it will be tough, especially going away from home, and I'm sure there'll be a big crowd at Daly Mount on Friday. They seem to have lost a few players, but Keith always seems to bring in good players from across the water, and yeah, he always seems to bring in a couple of decent players, yeah.
And in terms of Finn Harp's goal this season, obviously a lot of the pundits, I'm sure you don't listen to them, but a lot of them are tipping Finn Harp to be in a relegation battle. As players, you're probably pinning a few tweets to the wall and using it as motivation.
Yeah, we're going about things quietly, like we're not saying too much, and I know Ollie's been quiet enough as well, but there's no doubt that people will probably put us down and around relegation favourites, but we'll see more after the first round of games, how we fare, and hopefully we can shock a few people.
Ollie Horgan staying quiet. I can't see that one lasting too long, Dan, especially with these new regulations coming in now. He's going to have to be very careful. Have you come across the Ollie hairdryer yet?
No, I haven't.
Lucky for you.
Fair to be fair. Yeah. Lucky for me.
But in terms of, he seems to be a coach that a lot of is obviously very good tactically setting up his teams, but seems to be a very, very good motivator, and the players that have played for him speak very highly of him, very popular with the fans. How have you found working with him so far?
Yeah, it's been great. He's very detailed in what he has coaching, or whether it's about other teams. Like he knows what he wants from his players, and I spoke to others obviously before I signed on how they family with Ollie, and not one person had a bad word to say about the club or about Ollie, and everyone's been very impressed with how he goes about his business and his determination to obviously bring good players and bring a good blend of football to the club. So I'm looking forward to the next few months working under Ollie, yeah.
And finally, Dan, just on a personal perspective, have you set yourself a target for this season in terms of maybe how many games you're going to play? You're a defender that scores a lot of goals from the back too, so have you set any targets?
Yeah, I have my own personal goals. I obviously want to play as many games as I'm available for, whether it be being fit and hopefully injury free. But yeah, it's always nice to get a few goals, and I'm just looking forward to the challenge of playing in the Premier Division. So hopefully it'll be a good year.
Well, Dan, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes not only for the opening night but for the rest of the season.
Cheers, Kieran. Thanks for having me.
So, John, we came in, I think, feeling a little bit underprepared, having been away so long. It's nearly like we needed a pre-season podcast to get ourselves going, but I think we've actually done all right there, just over an hour, and some fine discussion and some great guests tonight.
Yeah, really enjoyed that, Kieran. Like you say, some great guests, and I think we got to the bottom of some of these squads and teams, and hopefully our listeners have found it good listening and an eye-opener for what's to come for the season ahead.
Right, just before you go, I'm going to nail your colours to the mast here. Let's get your predictions for the season. Can I get a title? Can I get the top four? And can I get your bottom two?
Oh, crumbs, Kieran. I'm glad I was prepared for this. Well, obviously, I'm definitely going to go with Dundalk for the title. I just think they've enough quality. There's nothing much changed, you know.
Right. Well, I'm trying to catch you out here.
Right.
Everyone is pretty much saying Dundalk, I think. Yeah. So do you think, how many points? Is it going to be close? Is it going to be quite a cakewalk again for them?
It is. I think so.
I
think there'll be a bit of distance between the nearest rivals. Second and third, toss up between Pats and Rovers for me.
Okay.
I think Rovers might just have a bit more stability than Pats because of the changes for Pats, but that'll be close, second and third. And then fourth, I think we caught my scraping fourth.
And your bottom two?
My bottom two, Sligo and UCD.
Right. Do I have to give mine or?
Of course you do. Put me on the table.
Top four, match it all the way. Dundalk, don't think it'll be a cakewalk, but I still think they'll probably win it with maybe two games to spare.
I think they'll win it double figures, Kieran.
Oh, wow, just really going all out.
Yeah, no, I think they will.
Dundalk, I think Pat's runners up, and if they can keep that squad together and build on it again, then they should be much, much closer again next season. But
definitely.
Look, that's miles away. Rovers third, Cork fourth. Bottom two, I think Finn Harps will be down there. I'm starting to look at UCD, think maybe they could upset a few. I think Sligo definitely struggle. Bowes probably lower mid-table. So I'm probably, just for the sake of the podcast, I'm going to go now and say I think Finn Harps and UCD, the two that have come up, will probably go down.
Okay. No change from last season. Then we're going back.
Yeah,
you two know, up, two down.
And you know it'll be totally wrong at the end of the. Folks, thanks for listening. As always, we really appreciate anyone that can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. In fact, if you ask Siri now to subscribe, that's amazing technology these days.
No way.
And we're on for Android users. We're on every platform. Just search us on your favorite podcast platform, and you should most likely 99% find us. Just search for Between the Stripes LOI podcast. But for anyone else, we're on Spotify as well. TuneIn Radio, Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic. We're everywhere, so you should find us easily. The podcast is always up on our website, betweenthestripes.ie. And as we've mentioned a few times tonight, we've recently launched Between the Stripes TV on YouTube, so please do check that out. Once again, this season, we're backed by Flomax.ie, StMelsBrewing.com and Diageo.ie. We really, really appreciate the support. Thousands of euro have gone into Between the Stripes out of myself and John, our own pockets, over the pre-season between the launch of the TV channel. New equipment here for the podcast. We're really trying to kick it on a notch this season. So every listen we get, every share, every like, every subscription, it really, really is appreciated. In a week where people are talking about a lack of promotion for the league, then I think it's important that projects like this are supported. And there's so many great podcasts out there and so many great websites. It's important everyone rows in and tries to get behind things like this. And finally, to Lockridge Pharmacy here in Drumlish for once again hosting us this season. Folks, that's been it for our Premier Division preview show. We'll return to our usual time slot of Wednesday next week for our First Division preview show. But until then, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.